through the press association, the impacts of COVID have been different than it would have been for, you know, regular journalists, I guess.
I get that. And then that's okay, because we have people who are coming at this from the 20,000 foot level. And the,
okay.
And the guy I'm talking to Thursday, he's a Native American reporter at the Osage News in Oklahoma. He's like in the trenches covering the reservation. So there's a whole bunch of perspectives from publishers of big dailies down to reporters who cover one beat, and he covers the res. So there's a whole gamut. So let me go and pull my questions, and then we'll get into them, and we'll do the ones that are for the directors, because that's kind of more applicable to you, even though you have an intermediate role. But we'll skip questions that you don't want to answer.
I'm pretty easy here, so whatever you think.
Okay.
So for the record, could you state your name and your title?
My name is Will Chapman. I'm the executive director of the Louisiana Press Association.
Very good. And today is the 15th of September, 2020. And we are doing this interview by Zoom and also recorded on my iPhone for those listening in for later. All right, Mr. Chapman, how long have you worked in journalism?
Probably, well, I don't know what that totals up, because since I was 11, my family was in the newspaper business. I delivered papers and did odd jobs, and I guess that counts as journalism. At age 11, I worked after school and during school breaks and such, you know, during my educational time. Worked on the press, in the press room, in the advertising department, in the news department, in the billing department. Worked for the college, worked for the Reveille at LSU. Worked for the Times-Picayune States Item when I first got out of college. Ended up in New Iberia, where I thought I'd be there a few years, and 30-something years later. So I don't know, easily 50 years. How about that?
Yeah. In terms of this position, how have you gotten into it, how long have you been in this particular role for the Louisiana State Press Association?
I had retired from my position as the publisher of the newspaper in New Iberia, and was doing some freelance writing, a number of projects for a marketing company that works with attorneys. And so I know all sorts of things now about Social Security, disability, and other such projects, things that I never knew about. And anyway, I got a call from the Press Association that they were looking for a new director, and I had been the president involved with it, something I was interested in. So just kind of fell into it, decided I was too young to do nothing, and you know, was interested in it, and they were very good, because they agreed to let me work from home 3 days a week and only have to go into the office 2 days. So anyway, it worked out pretty well. So I'm retiring in October, and it'll be not a little bit short of 3 years.
Very good. So you started in your current job in about be the fall of 2017. Is that right?
That's in the spring of 2017, I think.
In the spring. Okay. Very good. And now for some kind of bigger kind of picture questions. How many papers are in the state of Louisiana operating right now, maybe as part of the association?
We have, I believe there are 87, 88, what we would call traditional newspaper members. We have other membership of, So traditional page circulation, from weeklies up to dailies. But we also then have memberships from free publications. We have one news website, some other specialty publications.
Very good. When did you first notice the impact of the pandemic on the industry here in Louisiana?
Well, probably when it arrived, February, if I'm recalling correctly, and you know, pretty much immediately, You know, certainly the initial, perhaps not panic, but concern about, well, what's this bringing? What's it going to mean? And then, of course, then shortly thereafter, when the issues about working, you know, businesses needed to shut down, we needed to quarantine and such like that, then certainly it became a major impact on the newspapers around the state.
And do you know, oh, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Do you know how many papers have closed since the start of the pandemic, or have been affected? Furloughs, perhaps, that are severe.
I don't. Let's see. I don't think we had. Maybe there was one paper and one paper that may had already had issues, and COVID did them in. But that paper was quickly replaced with another publication from a neighboring operation that started a newspaper in that same community.
So there wasn't like a emergent news hole there for the area of that.
There are only two parishes in Louisiana that don't have a newspaper. One of them is a full operation. You know, again, I'm going to say the traditional newspaper. One is in Jefferson Parish, I believe. But of course, it's not as if they're not served by either the Times-Picayune Advocate combination now or other publications. And otherwise, as best I'm pretty sure, because I checked on it recently, there's only one other parish that has, it's served by some newspapers, but does not have a local newspaper.
Okay, that's actually pretty good news in some ways.
Actually, it is. It is very encouraging. And in fact, we've been a little bit distressed because some of these national organizations that are reporting about news deserts we and other press associations around the country have taken exception with it because there's some egregious errors in some of those charts that are being shown in terms of news deserts. It's much less, not that it's not an important issue and something to be concerned about, but it's not nearly as widespread as I think some of those charts would have you believe.
Yeah, we've encountered that a little bit ourselves with our work and have been pleasantly surprised, and we want to work on kind of fixing that with our project, that the perception that there isn't any news between the West and East Coast. That's definitely not true.
Yeah.
Definitely not true. In general, do you know much about how the financials of your papers have changed with advertising over the past 6 to 8 months?
I mean, we talk in general ways, you know, we don't receive any, you know, sure, we have no inside knowledge, but certainly anecdotally, you know, in talking to newspaper executives, you know, it's certainly been a more than significant negative impact in terms of you know, what a combination you know, you're closed and having or operating under such dire circumstances with your employees scattered about and people you need to sell advertising to are closed and or are very restricted in terms of the services that they can offer. So it's been a real challenge. It certainly has affected. I can't imagine there hasn't been more than significant impacts on every market.
Yeah, Dwayne at the New Iberian told me, the Daily Iberian told me that the local retailers in particular have been hard hit, and so it's been hard to get advertising revenue from that traditional source. Yeah.
Sure. And anyway, we've heard that in every market. And I mean, you can imagine most of them, small community retailers do not have online sales of any significant portion, nor could they suddenly gear up and offer that, and much less the connections with also affected is just the changes in people's lives, that they're not going out to eat, so the restaurants don't need to advertise or weren't It's gotten better, but you know, initially they weren't. You're not going to get any advertising from restaurants that are closed, or car dealers that aren't selling cars, or whatever. So it certainly it's had a huge impact on the business. You know, certainly gratefully we're hearing that probably what's it been since June or July, it's starting to recover, but certainly not back yet where it had been in January.
Feels like a million years ago.
Yeah.
Kind of along the vein of more positive developments, though, have you seen some innovations that have helped the state's papers or other news outlets out during this time? Technologies that have helped, or other ways of getting revenue streams in the picture for some of your papers, your members?
You know, it's a mixed bag. Different communities have tried different things. New Iberia had some programs where they were offering grants where they would match an advertiser's spend on advertising with what they called a grant, but basically matching it in terms of increase in the amount of advertising they could purchase for a certain amount, in an effort to work with the local merchants to try to help them get back into the game, get some marketing going, and of course at the same time generate some dollars for the newspaper. So you know, different types of programs. It was not uncommon to see a number of papers that had promotions of different types, but that centered on recognizing hospitals and medical personnel to appreciate the frontline people that were out in the battle against COVID. And interestingly, not just medical professionals, but perhaps also then, you know, the people that were working at the grocery stores and the discount stores and the stores that were open, who were, you know, putting themselves somewhat at risk to continue to serve the community. So as is not unexpected, you know, they try to find an angle to find some way to connect in terms of telling a story about their community. And in these cases, if they could get some sponsorships that help to offset the, both not only the cost, but generate some revenue, so much the better. A number of them had different types of subscription offers and whatever to try to generate revenue. So I can't say that I heard anybody who thought, you know, that they found the answer. But certainly when revenues are tight, we used to say, when you're in the hole, if you can make the hole less deep, that's an improvement, right? So anyway, there was a lot of creativity on that side. And I mean, certainly, you know, a significant reliance on increased reliance on digital, on their websites. Certainly, many of them had different types of regular updates about coronavirus, both in their markets and then in the state and such. And so, you know, certainly they adjusted both in terms of the news and the advertising, in terms of trying to find the right mix to reach their markets and offer them something meaningful. Certainly, we got a lot of questions in terms of the COVID, in terms of the reporting, when as governments were trying to figure out how they could have meetings and such and not have the public. And so our association has a legal hotline, get a lot of calls about, well, what about this in terms of open meetings or in this case, closed meetings. And so I think that the Press Association was able to help because, you know, we didn't want to draw a line in the sand and, you know, it was not normal time. So you couldn't expect that the normal rules were going to apply. And both with the Municipal Association and the Police Jury Association, our attorneys kind of had some conversations with them and I think helped to negotiate workable solutions in many areas so that the media could still have access and help be part of telling the story about what was going on with the government actions. Certainly, you know, they had to adapt to covering the meeting in some cases by Zoom, but in other cases, the local government bodies would recognize the local media and include them in, you know, save them a seat basically when they had limited access to the public.
That's very helpful. That's what Dwayne mentioned. He said that there has been a lot more negotiation about access via Zoom and other ways to get into meetings and do interviews with his people. Yeah. And what other ways have you, as a state press association, have you been able to help or have offered to help your members? You mentioned some pro bono legal advice or organizing that for access of governments, but have there been other efforts to try to reach out and help as best you can?
Well, so, you know, I wish we had something grand that we could point to and say, look, here's some shining star that's an example to all the of what could be done. But I think it was a lot of individual things in many cases where trying to help someone come up with an answer for a particular problem they were having, answering some questions or giving them some coaching to help them with, maybe looking at something with their website and trying to help them either if we had the knowledge to help them solve a problem or pointing them to someone. We did a lot of special newsletters, I guess I'll call it, where we would see ideas and programs from national organizations or other press associations. And so we were routinely sending out ideas of here's some things that have had some success in other states, and perhaps you might want to try to do these things or consider these things, or from the national media associations, different how to be safe inside your own operation in terms of your responsibilities to your own employees, and then certainly in terms of interactions with advertisers, readers, and news sources, news outlets. So probably be our biggest, most consistent thing was educational efforts. Sometimes just having a sympathetic ear when somebody called and was frustrated because how the hell we're gonna, how we're supposed to operate when things are like this.
Yeah, the toughest conditions imaginable. I can't imagine the pressure some of these people are under to keep the lights on and pay their people.
Absolutely. You know, certainly there were a number of publications that changed their frequency of publication as a result of this. Some who at least initially say, well, we plan or hope to go back. Others who said, well, between what was already happening and now COVID, this would just be the reality going forward. So certainly that's been an issue as well.
And I'm thinking about the success stories. I know it's hard to kind of imagine some things that are going well, but in terms of positive developments, you heard about things that have sort of defied the odds or papers that have kind of swum upstream. Have you heard of anything, anything that you can kind of point to and say you're really proud of a Louisiana paper or a news organization for really being creative with ways they've engaged with the pandemic?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't see every paper every day or every week. So I'm, you know, somebody could have had the world's best idea and I just don't know about it. So I kind of hate to omit somebody or not. You know, I saw here and there, again, these efforts I thought were good in terms of the things about recognizing and recognizing responders and trying to build some positivity in the face of so much negativity that was coming with the COVID. You know, that the advocate that in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and Lafayette had you know, any number of you know, just really good educational things for its readers in terms of, you know, what's this all about and what are the numbers, what's it mean, what's going to happen or whatever. You know, but you know, I hate to say it, I'm sure other ones did too. I will say though, I think so many of our members in a way felt like it, in a way, you know, like they had been knocked down. I mean, here they are, they're already in a tough fight and whatever. And I guess I want to say that the success or the positive story was in the perseverance, in the commitment to, oh crap, we, you know, got this on top of everything else now, but that they didn't give up. You know, I mean, if you think about it, in some of these, we got some really small markets in some of the more rural parishes, and so when you're already a weekly paper and you're in a declining local retail economy and facing tough times, and now you got to close your businesses and you got to send your employees home and you got all these problems, and I mean, the fact that here we are and they're still here, I mean, that's a pretty damn good success story. So I think the stick-to-itness, the perseverance, the willing to continue to fight and to not give up, I think is something that I thought was very impressive.
Yeah, the tenaciousness of a lot of outlets.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, keep at it, and you know, who knows what the future will bring, but if things do get better, I mean, I hope that readers and people in the community have appreciated reliable, trustworthy news and have really leaned on the local news organization to verify things like the state of their schools and how safe it is to be outside in the stores and shops in your town, in ways that the national news outlets really can't. I don't think a lot of New York Times or Washington Post people are here.
their commitment to their craft, to their desire, you know, in some cases it's not shiny and it's not gonna, you know, the Pulitzer Committee's not gonna be calling most of these folks. But to do their best to tell the stories that need to be told in the markets they represent, their commitment to their communities is something that is impressive. And in all these negatives that we hear about the media and the fake news and whatever, I wish that more people could see the commitment to their communities that I see so regularly from so many.
Yeah, these are our neighbors and our fellow church members and our business partners. These are not some alien other people out there. These are our friends and our family. So
absolutely.
I'm hoping that there has been maybe some positive impact on that connection of readers, but have you noticed anything different about your kind of perspective at the higher level? Any differences with readers? We mentioned just now kind of hopefully that closer connection with them, but have you seen any other changes with the dynamic with subscribers and that kind of thing?
You know, I think I'm seeing that, I wish it was a whole lot more, but I'm seeing that there are many in their community, in the communities, that are valuing their local newspaper and know that their local newspaper is important to their community. And are taking, or at least are enunciating, making comments about, hey, we need to support our paper because when it's gone, we're going to miss it. If it goes, we're going to miss it. So I think that there's a realization from some. Hopefully, it will create that or spread to more, but. You know, I think people are concerned that, you know, if the local newspaper goes around, who is going to cover these things? You know, I can certainly say unrelated, not really related to COVID, but just in terms of local newspapers not being as strong as they used to be, that there are those who take advantage of that. And so there are, government officials, unfortunately, that sometimes know that the maybe the reporter's not as sophisticated as the one that was there before, or that the editor is a new editor and he doesn't know better, or she doesn't know any better, or whatever. And I think they kind of take advantage of some situations in some markets where the local newspaper is not as strong. So that's only going to get worse if the local newspaper's gone.
Yeah, we need that to be a functioning representative democracy.
Absolutely. So,
have you seen changes across the industry? Kind of speaking about looking at your fellow press associations from the pandemic's impact. Have you seen anything that's kind of universal? That's not just Louisiana on local news. From your vantage point, looking at our sister states, maybe over in Texas or up in Arkansas, that kind of thing.
The commonality. Sure. You know, where the votes are pretty much the same in all the states. I think we've been lucky in Louisiana that some of the other states that have shared things from time to time, state press associations anyway, you know, their revenues are off much more significantly than ours. You know, a number of them have sold their buildings. Yeah. And in the smaller facilities and had cutbacks and stuff like the other like their members are undergoing. So you know, we're lucky that we only have the one parish that doesn't have a newspaper. There are, you know, others that are have lost more publications in more markets. So but for the most part, I mean, it's you know, different versions of the same song, but you know, we're all singing the blues.
At least for now.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting a little bright. It's definitely brighter now. You know, it's definitely brighter. So we are seeing that both certainly here and certainly in the other states. But anyway, I can't really say. I can't think of too many things that were different in any of the other states versus here. Maybe in some of the Dakotas, I don't think they had as bad a problem with COVID, and I think their newspapers markets are still a little bit stronger. Or at least less effective, which was also my observation when I was still in the newspaper business and doing some work with some papers up in that area, that they were slower to come into the woe is me situations that newspapers in other parts of the country had. But they, you know, proportionately, they probably suffered the same
too. Oh, that makes sense. And you would have more perspective than I would for sure on that. So thank you. That's really helpful. Speaking of yourself, how has this pandemic influenced you personally with your work life or in any other professional way?
Oh, being at home so long probably has influenced my decision to go ahead and retire.
Yeah.
But only because I guess I shouldn't say that, because I'm probably was going to retire for good about this point in my life anyway. So has it affected me? You know, I guess I'm really lucky that that our association was in good shape and was about as prepared as we could be to weather the storm that this has brought. We have a really good staff of people who are both experienced and committed to the association and the work that they're doing. So I guess we were decently positioned to go through this. So certainly I was very fortunate with that. We're all dying to get back to normal. You know, it's, this social distancing stuff is just, I'm a lifelong Louisianan. We hug and shake hands and, you know, go out with people and do things. So, you know, I used to think home arrest didn't really sound like too much punishment, but just on restricted duty, I'm thinking, okay, that's a lot worse than it seemed. So, anyway, certainly I've been very fortunate to not have issues that when you see other people who've lost family members and friends and such. So anyway, it's been an interesting time. I'm eager to move on to the new time though.
I am. I'm with you there.
Yeah.
Speaking of kind of after times, are there any changes you think will stick around to the industry in Louisiana post-pandemic, or maybe some things that you would like to see not continue on after we're all through this?
You know, what might continue? You know, it's going to be interesting to see what's going to shake out with local government. Are they going to continue to use some of the COVID practices longer than perhaps is, or COVID restrictions longer than is perhaps necessary, just because it's a lot easier when you don't have those pesky citizens at a meeting asking for things or such. I don't know. It'll be interesting to tell. Who can say where you know, we're not at the end yet. We're in phase three, kind of, sort of, and, you know, if we go back to it in a month, you know, because we suddenly see the virus, you know, the infections going up again, well, we'll be right back there. So I guess we just have to hope for the best. Anyway, I have no predictions in terms of any long lasting changes. I don't think most newspapers are going to operate with most people working remotely, like I hear some industries say they will.
Yeah.
Although certainly maybe there will be certain positions that will. So, you know, maybe they'll have arrangements with writers who, and it's work for them, and so maybe it'll continue. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see in this short term right now. I don't think there's been long enough to really figure out what's the normal for COVID either. So I don't know what's going to stick and what's not.
That's fair.
I think it's going to change, you know, some of these marketing principles in terms of, you know, our local market's going to have long-term impacts because so many people have been ordering stuff from Amazon and other online retailers. And is that going to have a negative, even more negative effect, or an accelerated negative effect on local businesses as they struggle to reopen and reestablish themselves? So, I guess the COVID testers, at least one day, will have to find something else to test.
Hopefully. It kind of brings me to my last couple questions. The first one, the last two here are, what do you want your readers to know about the press here in Louisiana? What's something you could convey to them? And yeah, I know you're about to retire, and you've been in your job for a few years now. So that, with that in mind, and thinking about the pandemic, is there anything you would wish to kind of say to them, or would encourage them to pay attention to as readers, as consumers of news in Louisiana?
I guess I'd go back to the commitment from their newspapers to their markets, and to not get caught up in this narrative that that the media people are all bad guys, and that they're conspiring to do fake news or do false perspective. Gosh, when I was a publisher, I used to laugh when somebody'd come in and complain about a particular phrase in a story that was in like the third paragraph from the end at a 15-inch news story or something, and then you use this word instead of this word. And I'd laugh with them. You know, I'd say, listen, if you knew how hard it was just to get the story in the paper and to try to get it right and whatever. And I said, the certain word in the third paragraph from the end of a 15-inch story, it just doesn't get that much attention. So I said, sorry, we're just not that crafty. And so, you know, I guess I hope that some of the positive things that the newspapers have done will earn them some brownie points that will be remembered, and that they could see that when the situation was tough in their community, their local newspaper continued to try to do its job and continued to try to represent its community. And hopefully that'll earn them some continued relationships that will last past the pandemic.
Well said. Last question, then I'll let you go. What do you want journalists a century from now, if they're covering a new pandemic, to know about journalism in Louisiana in 2020?
It's probably not that much different than what we probably should have learned from the Spanish flu. Mm-hmm. I remember the swine flu. My mom and dad had the war and polio, so everybody goes through something.
Yeah.
And so I hope that they'll have the same commitment to trying to tell the stories that need to be told, and put their readers first. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I hope there still are writers, and I hope there still are readers, and I hope there are no more pandemics. But if there are, I'm hoping that they'll continue the good traditions and the good practices that I think today's journalists have, for the most part, attempted.
The recording has stopped.
That's great. I'll end right there, because that's a good last thought there.